If I were to tell you on April 1st that God wants us all to be circumcised today, you would probably hope that my next line would be April Fools. But it's not, as you'll hear from our text from Deuteronomy chapter 10. And now, Israel, what does the Lord our God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. And now, O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Physical circumcision has been in the news lately. It's been a big controversy in Germany in the last couple of years. A high court ruled that it is bodily harm to circumcise. And so the religious groups that have circumcision as a part of their ceremony objected strongly. So it's a hot debate. And among some African Muslim nations, there's controversy over, yes, female circumcision, whether it's mutilation of the body or just what it is. Some say the Quran demands it, and some say no, it doesn't demand it, it's mutilation. And so it's in the news. And it's a sensitive issue, obviously, pretty down to earth. But the Bible is not afraid to talk about circumcision. It talks about it in the Old Testament many, many times, and the New Testament many, many times. Look at a concordance and see all the entries for circumcision. First of all, a little history of physical circumcision. Long before God instituted it in the Bible to Abraham, it was a practice in the ancient world, thousands of years ago. Egypt and Mesopotamia, there have been a number of theories why ancients circumcised. One guess is that it was a tribal mark. We're the circumcised tribe, and you're not, something like that. Rite of passage from adulthood to manhood in the case of males, as still is done in some African tribes today. Some say it was a substitute for child sacrifice. Instead of throwing our whole baby to this god, let's just cut off some of the skin. And some say the ancients, too, and did it for hygiene reasons, even as it is practiced today for that reason. But God took this practice, which had long been used, maybe thousands of years before Abraham's time, God took it and he gave it a beautiful gospel meaning. He attached it as his sign of the covenant to Abraham, his promise that all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. And so all the circumcised males from generation to generation would all culminate in one seed of Abraham. And of course, his name is Jesus Christ. A little context of our text this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 10. It's Moses speaking. And he's speaking across the River Jordan. He wouldn't cross the Jordan because God would not allow it. But he's getting ready for the nation to cross over without him. And then Joshua would lead the nation. And he reminds Israel of its treasured status under God. God delighted in Israel. He's your loving God. He chose you. He could have chosen anybody. You weren't more righteous than anybody else. You weren't stronger or bigger than anybody else. And yet God, for some reason, loved you and chose you. Israel didn't have to earn God's favor. They already had God's undeserved favor. And then he reminds Israel to circumcise their hearts, as you just heard read. This was actually a unique time in the whole history of circumcision in Israel, because there hadn't been circumcision for 38 years. It was suspended during the wilderness wandering years. And so he's talking to a generation that isn't physically circumcised, strangely. But there's a higher circumcision, a circumcision of the spirit, a circumcision of hearts, a circumcision that comes from God's word and gives life and reminds of our treasured status under God, our unique position. So this is a unique time in Israel's history. But what does all this have to do with us, this talk of circumcision? Well, Paul alludes to this very verse that we're talking about here this morning in Romans chapter 29, and he reminds us that true circumcision is a thing that the Spirit does in us. It's the work of the Spirit. He says, circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. You can be physically circumcised all you want, but it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you worse. Being circumcised by the Spirit is the all-important thing, Paul reminds us. So, first of all, it's circumcision talk of the Holy Spirit is a reminder of our sin. We deserve to be cut off from God, alienated from Him, and that's the way we were. But God chose us in Christ. And it's a reminder of our way out of sin, our rescue from sin. So it's a beautiful grace message. Jesus, on the eighth day, himself was circumcised, put under the law in our place so that he could live our life for us. The first shedding of his blood when he was 8 days old. And then living under that law, he lived perfectly. He followed exactly what Moses is talking about in our text, loving God perfectly, serving him perfectly, because we didn't. He carried our load for us. And then he was willing to be cut off from the protection of the Father so that he could endure the wrath of God against our sin. Just look at the sins that are mentioned in our text, being stubborn and stiff-necked, not wanting to go along with God's commandments, not being generous to those who are down and out, thinking that we are the be-all and the end-all, our selfishness. Jesus took all of the punishment for that upon himself on the cross, and then Isaiah said he was cut off from the land of the living, cut off. A reminder of circumcision also, from the land of the living, died in our place before he rose for our justification and ascended to pour out the Holy Spirit upon us. And now, our baptism is the New Testament form of circumcision. Notice the connection as I read these words from Colossians chapter 2, further words of Paul. In him, namely Jesus, you were circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations. So let your baptism remind you that the Holy Spirit has performed a wonderful circumcision in you, attaching you to Christ, giving you the benefit of what he did, being cut off from God for your sake and so forth. And let your baptism remind you also to live the new life which the Holy Spirit wants you to live, to cut off, to get rid of those things that he doesn't want us to have. It's kind of parallel to the words of Jesus. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Better to go to heaven than with two eyes. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. Better to go to heaven with one hand than two and go to hell. All this, of course, is very strong and hyperbolic language. But the idea is to get rid of, to circumcise the foreskin of our hearts, to use the words of Moses, to get rid of whatever keeps us from our loving God and his message. To that end, let us arise and pray that the Spirit would guide us. Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, cut away from our hearts our lovelessness, our selfishness, our prejudice, and our lack of generosity to those around us. And by your word of power, create in us new hearts that delight in your loving forgiveness and that delight in walking in your ways. Heavenly leader, direct us, support, and protect us till we safely stand in our fatherland. Amen.